Blog Talk Radio.
It has been complex for me, and I presume that is why the information has come in slowly but surely. As I draw your time maps, the maps speak to me. And every day, I am learning more and more what the different lines mean. And of course, we'll pass this on to you on the 8th of February, which is when the cosmic map changes for every creature, as well as the cosmos. We will be having an online seminar. And Rogier will be the one to present to you some of this information on how to interpret your time map. We have a wheel for every one of the 355 days that are in the Chinese year, the cosmic year's calendar. We've only received 110. So of the 355, the first 110 will be available to you if you have or are going to purchase your time map. I have this morning received 110 aphorisms total, meaning that as you've ordered, each of you have received a personal mantra. Mantra is perhaps a better description of these little sentences that describe a way of living which is meant for you. We have fulfilled many mantras already, but there is a total of 110, including the ones we've already sent out, that have come in now as of this morning. So 110 wheels, 110 mantras to go with individual time maps. But the vital piece of information that I didn't understand until last night, when I was drawing one of your time maps and I was in an altered state. There are, in fact, 355 mantras. Each one is for a specific day and matches, therefore, a specific wheel, a power wheel for that day. Well, each of you has a specific mantra that is predominant for you during this year. When the day comes that you, in fact, have the same mantra as your personal mantra that was assigned to you, that the cosmic year has as its day's mantra. In other words, let's just take a little example. Let's just say something silly for the moment, like, I bloom where I'm planted. So I bloom where I'm planted might be your specific mantra. But on June the 2nd, the mantra of the day is, I bloom where I'm planted. When that happens, that is your power day. Particularly if you've been living your mantra, then that day will bring enormous opportunity for beneficial change, because that's like your birthday. It's as though you are in perfect attunement to fulfill the infinite will on that particular day. So, my dear ones, those of you that have received your mantras with your time maps, you will find, and we will be releasing the first 110 days worth of mantras on the 8th of February, that there's a specific day that matches your mantra. Congratulations, that's your birthday, that is your power day.
Hello and welcome to the show. This is Mystery, Miracles and Mysticism, and I'm your host, Vanessa. I'm hoping we have Joanne here with us. Do we have Joanne? Do we have Joanne with us?
Hello, Vanessa, can you hear me?
Hello. Hi, I can hear you.
Oh, great.
Okay,
I've
so that was...
With getting in, actually, Vanessa, and just to let you know, I had to call in a few times and then I got cut off, so I have no access to the studio. So, just to let you know.
Yeah, that's understandable. Thanks. I'm totally not surprised because I've had to use a different channel to connect with the show tonight, and to actually different medium, I suppose I would say, to actually get the show on. Pardon.
I'm just back in, actually. The studio has just popped up for me again.
Yeah,
so.
I saw that you were actually on, so that's why I actually put it on. But anyway, welcome. Hi. So I'd just like to say to our beautiful listeners, this show is dedicated to Amin. She is world-leading mystic and seer of our time, and she has inspired thousands of people, really. And the recent audio that I've just played for you is called Time Maps and Your Cosmic Birthday, and for anyone who's heard it, it's a pretty profound gift to give yourself, which I did actually for myself as a proxy for all of existence. And I would like to share with you that it is my cosmic birthday tomorrow. So I'm going to tell you what... Thank you. So I'm going to share with you today, I'm going to be really bold, and I'm going to share with you one of the angels that I mean, and the mantra for today, because everyone who orders a time map, for a personal time map, will get a personal mantra and an angel. So I'm going to share the angel, and the mantra for today is the sacred angel Uktraba. And the mantra is, through gratitude, I manifest a life of blessings. Very beautiful. So if we can express that through our actions and states of being and, into everything that we do, you're really walking with divine intent, And tomorrow, for my birthday, my cosmic birthday, I might add, my darlings, I'm going to have to do something really nice tomorrow.
buy cake.
The angel is, pardon?
Buy cake.
I am going to buy a delicious cake. Yum yum. It's going to be quite challenging, I feel, for me. Well, hopefully not. Hopefully I'll see. I'll say what my mantra is, and my mantra is, I am a blessing to all life. Oh no, that's not it. Excuse me. Oh my God, this is not right at all. Just let me just check this. That's what I get for playing. Hang on. I'm just going to rewind here. Whoops. Okay. Today's mantra is, I'm sorry, is the sacred angel Sahatravu, and I'm a blessing to all life as I walk in reverence. That is today's mantra. And for tomorrow, I'll say again, tomorrow, my cosmic birthday. Yes, my cosmic birthday, I said. Anyway, it's the angel Mech and Esvi, and it's, I discover beauty through aware appreciation. So I'm really going to do my best for everyone, myself, obviously, and every single being, and there is only one being expressing, so it'll be interesting because I have parent-teacher meetings to go to tomorrow.
Oh, on your birthday. How interesting.
Mm-hmm. Parent-teacher meetings. But they call it parent-teacher meeting, but now they actually, I got a message on my phone saying, and the student is to be wearing their uniform and they are to come with you. I was like, but
no,
that
way.
Is not a parent. It's not,
that's,
I swear.
Very interesting.
But I don't mean
different,
I swear.
To how it used to be here.
Pardon?
It's very different how it used to be. It used to be the case where,
well,
the child,
I don't agree with
home,
it, to be honest,
biting their nails in fear, waiting for the for the parents.
I know,
to
and my son, my son has already mentioned this, going, I know I shouldn't be nervous, but I feel kind of, and I'm like, yeah. I understand, and you've got nothing. It's just, if I feel I wish to speak to the teachers in private, then, but they're like, you must bring your child with you, your child with you, and they must be in their uniform. And I was kind of going, but then it's not a parent-teacher meeting, and in theory, I could kind of say, well, I thought there was a glitch in the system, because my understanding was it was a parent-teacher meeting. In other words, the student doesn't go to that meeting. It's between the parent and the teacher. You know?
Yeah.
So, you know, and therefore I would be correct in what I'm doing.
Yeah.
So, all I can say is bleep, 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 them. Anyway.
Watch that face, Vanessa. Watch face.
Yes, I have no words for that. I wonder if I put on another audio.
Well, you know what, Vanessa? Maybe we should just get straight into the juicy bits now and just get into the kind of theme for the evening. Myself and Vanessa have been having little chats. For those of you who don't know, we're both living in Ireland, so there are many, many conversations that are that take place between us about various things that are happening cosmically and physically and whatever in our own lives. And Vanessa's a very dear, beloved friend of mine as well. I love her very dearly. So we've known each other. I don't know why I'm even saying this, but we've known each other since we met at one of Almeen's retreats back in 2007. And Vanessa became notoriously known as my bold friend. And she's actually helped me to become more bold as well, which is very, very important.
Yes.
So anyway,
where would we be
no
without
idea
bold
why
friends,
I
for God's
preempted
sake.
That with all of this discussion about our background and how we got to meet. But she's a wonderful, wonderful being and an amazing oracle and a beautiful, beautiful friend. So I'm very, very blessed to have her in my life. Now,
Thank you, sweetheart.
We were having this discussion. This is why I'm giving you this background. We were having discussion in the last couple of days about, a couple of things that Almeen has posted up recently that kind of made us sniff that something, was kind of up. And one of them was a post that she put up recently about how, some of us went in for the money in the last year. Some of us went in for different reasons, and some of us kind of grew roots. And interestingly enough, there was a group of us who did actually start a Facebook page called Roots and Wings around the time that Almeen had her stroke.
That's correct.
So
that is correct. We actually did.
Interesting synchronicity. But anyway, and that page is still active, by the way, and it's the page that you can actually activate the radio show. It's always posted on Roots and Wings every week. Sometimes not exactly on the day that we're supposed to do it, but anyway, it's always there.
And on Almeen's
Facebook page as well.
Go ahead, Joanne. I don't mean to interrupt you.
No
go
problem.
On.
Anyway.
You're on a roll.
You said something was up, and we had this little chat about what it might be, and kind of examining our own lives and making sure that that we felt that we were in integrity with where we were going. One of the issues, actually, I wanted to bring up was the whole issue of money, and I had actually kind of written a letter to Almeen, which I haven't sent, but one of the things, for us, just speaking from my own perspective. Anybody who engages or who has engaged in work with Almeen over several years, as myself and Vanessa have, for example, and I know some of you who are listening have as well, have invested a lot of time and money and effort and a labor of love into, the material that she's provided for us. For a lot of people, it hasn't been an easy journey. There's been a lot of belief systems to release, a lot of life changes being made, career changes, all sorts of things. And some people have, are interested in going into holistic healing and all of that kind of stuff. So while it's very important to kind of continue the work and really try to live it as much as you can, at the same time, my point was that, you have to actually make a living either from what you're, either in your own life and whatever it is that you engage in, or in, if you decide to kind of engage more in the the holistic end of things, the healing stuff. And speaking for myself, I incorporate it into the work that I do. So I incorporate it into singing and performing. You know, I call in angels when I'm singing. And when I'm working, sometimes angels are called in when I'm teaching singing. And also, you know, so, and my whole approach would be holistic as well. And, you know, obviously I've learned a lot from her. But I think that like there have been, there's a difference, I think, between going into something because you think you're going to get money out of it and going into something because you're passionate about it and you love it and you would like to make some money. I personally...
And you want, no sorry, problem. And you want?
And you want to make money, to earn money, to earn a living, you know, to keep a roof over your head.
Yeah.
Do what you want to do. And I think that, you know, words can be misinterpreted. And I mean, when I initially heard that first post that had been put up about the money stuff, it kind of struck something in me. And I kind of examined myself and wondered, you know, if there was, you know, if any of it was, say, directed at me, for example, or at anybody that I knew or whatever. And I realized that for me, if I want to create, you know, abundance for myself and flourish, there's no harm in that. What was it I said to somebody recently? Being poor is not a sign of being spiritual. And I think that there's been a lot of programming around that. So for anybody who's listening, I'm just giving my own perspective. But I really, while I think it's important to be in integrity and to be doing it and, you know, do it for the reasons of evolving life, evolving your own self, and because you want to be a source of inspiration or whatever it might be, whatever your calling is, I don't feel that there's any harm in making money from doing what you do, as long as you do it with integrity. And this
and that brings you to the copyright kind of stuff as well,
exactly.
Then, because that's where the lack of integrity may have been. You know, because
or,
maybe the intention was, you know, whatever to share, but obviously I don't presume to know, you know, but I mean I think that's where self sovereignty comes in, being self referring, self reliant.
Totally.
And, you know, that you're as I used an example of like artwork and music. So if you're creating your own music, you're creating your own artwork. I don't mean just working by yourself. I just mean this is where the communication comes from within, that it's actually clear communication that's being expressed. And that if you're creating a work of art, say, within your expression that's coming out on a painting or whatever, that's coming forth from you, from you know, the silence, from the divine working through you as an expression that's blessing all of existence, then you're self-referring for that, self-governing for that, self-sovereignty for that. So there's no, and also not thinking that something outside of you needs to empower you to sell your own products.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? As in, like, in a way that not like a crutch, if you see what I mean. So what I'm saying is, that, you might look at something and go, God, that's really, yeah, that would be lovely with that. But you mightn't have thought about, because it's in innocence, do you see what I'm saying? Because if it's in the one, then it may be in the many. And that may have been something that may have been a blind spot that needed to be revealed for it to be seen.
Yeah.
So it may have been like a child, you know, in innocence
exactly.
Going, oh, that would be lovely with that.
Yeah,
and just didn't even think about it, and was like, oh yes, and they were so inspired and so passionate, and oh my God, and this is beautiful and it's wonderful, and then not realizing, you know, in total innocence, what was actually happening. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
you know,
so
that's how I perceived it. From my heart, just has total compassion.
Yeah.
You know,
there's a difference, I think, between. And this is really what the crux of this radio show is about this evening. It's about you know, the difference between being inspired by Almeen's material and using some of it with permission, because that's what she has asked for. Particularly if you're, you know, if you're not sure about some project or whatever that you want to engage in, then you just make sure that it's okay. Because, you know, like for example, if I wrote a book, I wouldn't want people to take half the material out of the book and then, you know, use it and then say that, you know, do whatever else they do with it to enhance that project. So it's about, I suppose it's about balance. It's about, you know, you can be inspired by her work, but also it was, it's a, I think it's also a big lesson for people to, for anybody, I'm saying this to myself as well, that it's
for
really
everyone.
Important that you engage in your own creativity as well, that if you want to create something in your life, that you think, you know, you can be inspired by something. Like, I'm inspired by how she, the tools that she taught. And so when I am working with my students, I help them to come to a place where they become silent, where their mind becomes silent, and where they, when from the place of stillness, where the breath is really low and deep in the body, and that also brings stillness, it brings a total feeling of presence in the person. So they could be in their head or, you know, worried about something, but when you breathe deeply, it brings you back into your body and into the fullness of who you are. And so that's how, one of the ways in which I might be inspired by Almeen's teachings. I would bring that into the work.
Or even her artwork, for example. Sorry, Joanne, because you know the way I'm just in the moment and it's coming through me, but I'm not, you know, being rude or anything.
Go ahead.
But it's just, you know, and she, you know, even through her artwork, you know, the multifaceted artwork that she is bringing through on many different layers, and also the interdimensional work, but also the many facets that it's holding in non-cognitive information, but also just, you know, you can feel inspiration and wonderment of the kind of unknowableness of it, and therefore be inspired to create your own sacred artwork or music or, you know, this is what I felt through inspiration from that piece that was speaking to me, and here is a musical piece to complement that in my creative expression, in my awareness of who I am, in my reality. You know what I mean? So it's like you're expressing at that level of awareness on how that information was downloaded into your system, how you perceived it and felt it, and therefore was a response of more creative expression through inspired communication, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's the beauty of it. So I suppose not to dwell on it too long, you know, I mean, it was just, I mean, to make a post on spiritual journeys, and it's really just to give the listeners and those who are, you know, following Almeen's journey and walking this sacred path with their beloved light family, with much, much gratitude to those, you know, who I've connected with over the years, with just inspired hearts and just total and utter joy. And, you know, even gifts and lessons, you know, and they're really both. But I have to say, Joanne, I'm grateful to have you in my life. So thank you. And thank you for the little speech that you did earlier. I kind of didn't expect that. Oh, that's a lovely cosmic birthday present. Thank you.
Nice.
But
Almeen
did also mention about a call for help. And I don't know if you want to mention about that, about what's happening cosmically on Earth. And because I have a little upload about the Godmark about, and I'm just aware of the time, you know, so I would like to kind of get that about the Godmark about out there and green light.
I didn't see it, sweetheart. Is it on the diary, is it?
Okay.
It's a new one on the diary, is it?
No, it's, you know, a call to the Holy Ones. If you want, I can, you know, read it out there.
Yeah, you can go ahead while you're on a roll. You might as well.
Yeah. Okay, so Almeen recently made a call basically to return peace on Earth, a call to the Holy Ones. So anyone who's been following Almeen's work or is new to her work, and they're they could be wherever they are in on their spiritual journey, will be, you know, basically they will understand what Almeen says, you know, a call to the Holy Ones. So Almeen heads to her silent retreat. I don't know what we have said that. But anyway, that was, you know, last week. And
yes. I think
her first
that
retreat
was the one
in 15 months.
I think
yeah,
that was
when
the
we were talking about the radio show.
I think she talks about the all the money stuff and that thing
well,
as well,
just,
doesn't she?
Okay, I'll just read
yeah,
what it says.
Go ahead.
It's her first retreat in 15 months. And I suppose she outlines, yeah, okay, so maybe there's something else we need to address here. She outlines the collective intent for this week to help facilitate global destructuring, such as the situation in Syria. And she recommends the use of Kanish Balvaspata, which I've been doing, and violet light, and the God Merkaba, and the pale mint green light that removes mind control. Now, what she says about the God, when the Kanish Balvaspata, is that anyone who's qualified as a Grand Master in Balvaspata is to do Kanish Balvaspata, seven sigils every day, I think something like 40 days, every morning. And you envision it for Syria and obviously Syria and, say it for me, Brazil, because she said there was a threat of some disease that may be harmful to unborn children, and so that we're trying to remove kind of like mind control and stuff like that. Also, the God Merkaba is very, very powerful too to use. It's a type of meditation. It's very powerful and free, so you can check that out on Amin's story, www.spiritualjourneys.com. But when you're finished in the God Merkaba, then you envision actually when you're doing the God Merkaba, because you're fanning the flame, right? You're fanning stuff into physicality in this beautiful meditation that's very, very powerful. And you know, you're fanning in like the violet light, then the white light, and then the mint green light, which actually removes the mind control. And I've been visualizing this around my son as well, actually, you know, when he's going to school and stuff like that. But yeah, she did mention about people going after money and stuff like that. And, you know, she said people were, you know, some people went and created groups like they were supposed to. And we did try and do that with Roots and Wings as well. And, you know, that's still there for anyone who wants to do that. And we've created like a place there for people to connect with Almin's teachings and stuff like that as well. And also we did try and have a retreat to assist Almin as well. So let's go further into self-sovereignty, because there was something about self-sovereignty mm-hmm. that I found, and it says, how do you become impoverished? And Almin mentions that when you become, it's a perspective that holds you back. Sorry, let's just see, working with angels, abandoning self-sovereignty? No, it's not. These are just basically, they are within you. There's nothing outside of you. So she says, how you become impoverished? Whenever we think of everlasting supply as being a linear conduit, as being something that we receive from outside of ourselves, we are in a position of being impoverished. In other words, we have the perspective that there is a source of resources outside of ourselves. For example, angels, that can somehow give them or withhold them. This perception is impoverishment and lack of self-sovereignty. Instead, if we can for a moment, now this is interesting because it's all about inner and outer space, right?
Mm.
At the moment, and merging the both with the runes and stuff like this. And I thought this thread really ties into what's happening right now, where the focus is with the runes and stuff. And she said, instead, if we can for a moment imagine spaceless space, space is just an illusory and delusional construct of the mind. It is here today and gone tomorrow. It varies from person to person. And if enough people believe it, then it is maintained for who knows how many eons, but then it moves and those eons are gone and they become just a little wrinkle on the face of eternity. If space is illusory, how do we look at ourselves? Are we a body inside a cosmos? No. The cosmos is in fact outside our body. The body that we have is one that has no skin. The skin that we imagine ourselves to have is made up of memories. Memories mm-hmm. that affirm identities provide a skin to our body. How interesting is that? We are just mm-hmm. a field. The field is the cosmos. Mm-hmm. Every star is a cell inside our body. And mm-hmm. what is more is that our body is inside the cosmos, but it is also the whole cosmos. But if we let go, the memories go, if we let these memories go, keeping only their inspiration, either to change the present or to inspire the present, to even greater excellence of interpreting infinite, inevitable intent, we find that we have no skin. We are just a field, and the field is the cosmos. Every star is a cell inside our body, and what is more, I've read this already, but I'm reading it again, is the body inside the cosmos, but it is also the whole cosmos. Now, the cosmos is just another layer of skin, because beyond the cosmic boundaries lies infinity, but it is not around our bodies, it is the infinite within. And when there is no skin and there is no space, there is neither within or without. How interesting is that? So can we just contemplate these unexplainable, undefinable concepts for just a moment? If we do, we will suddenly find that we've reached a point where there is nothing outside of ourselves. There is just ourselves, our being. It is, be it angel, man, something else that seems to be out there in your environment. And we say out there as just a word to use. It is but a layer within your own being, and you are a layer within the infinite's being. So where then is the need for supply and the production of supply possibly able to exist? With the right perspective, we can become everlasting supply, because it is a meaningless concept when all that there is, we are. So I just thought, yes, that's perfect, you know.
It's fascinating. When was that written, Vanessa?
That's a while ago now. Let me just double check if I can see where that is. That was on April the 8th, 2014.
Okay.
And he recommends The Power of Self-Reliance, which is an audio CD, which I have, which was one of the first CDs I got, actually, 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And then Powerful Allies, which is a 2008 radio show. She's talking about the goddess archetypes. And the other new book that she brought out was The Lemurian Signs of Peace, which I've yet to read, and I do have that. So these are all little, you know, very massive, actually, when you realize there is no inner and outer. And this has been going on for, like, how many, you know? It's just different ways of doing it.
I have been writing about this exact subject. In fact, I was writing about it this morning. Exactly.
That's
everything to do with the cells, cellular levels, the the fact that at a quantum level, we're, you know, if you look at a cell under a microscope,
the quantum particle.
It basically becomes a waveform, and the waveform can exist in a couple of places at the same time, all that kind of stuff. And I was talking about the cells and how they hold memories if we're not in our in the presence and all this. I mean, literally everything that you're talking about that you've written right now, I wrote today.
It's divine. And it's so interesting, because I felt to take a picture, because I've been totally in love with the sunshine today, and it's been absolutely, absolutely magnificent here today. It's been like walking in heaven.
Yeah, beautiful here.
With the weather. Yeah, and I took a picture, and obviously there's a picture of my head in the picture, but there's like this etheric cell, like a ball of information, and that's what it feels like, but it's in front of my face. And I don't mean that as in a, but it's in front of my face. I just mean to say that I just see it being played out, when we're tying the threads together, how it can be played out in your environment and physicality. And, you know, you're taking this beautiful interdimensional picture and you're going, wow, what is that? And then, you know, gaining the insight, going, oh, maybe that was a cell, an enlarged cell or nucleus that I've taken a picture of earlier on. I'm like, is it a fairy? Is it a, you know what I mean? And it's just beautiful.
Yeah.
But I feel we need to play an audio, Joanne, because I'm not sure how much time we've left. And I'd really like to play about the God Mark for people to know about.
Yeah, I'm keeping an eye on the time. We probably have.
Where?
Let me just, I have in my mind, I can see where it is. So 32.
Oh, great.
Let me just bear with me for 1 second until I figure it out. We have about 9 minutes.
Oh, excellent. So the audio that I'd like to play is about 7 minutes long. So.
Okay. Can I just make one point before you play it? I want to talk a little bit about autonomy for a second.
Yes.
And it was something that you mentioned in some guise along the way, and I was getting insights as I was listening to it, but it wasn't quite coming together. But this whole notion of autonomy, it ties in with this thing about, you know, having a unique creative expression. I know that we are all one at a quantum level, and you know, we're all part of this field of one being, the infinite being. But I think that the creative expression thing is tied in with this thing to do with autonomy. You know, this is something that just keeps coming back to me, and it's this whole notion of, you know, we're being taught, or we have been taught, to become masters. I mean, masters of our life, masters of our experiences, of how life unfolds, essentially, you know, to to be able to ride all of the waves with grace, and you know, when you know, to get to a point where life just flows, and that we don't hold on to things. I do think that people make the mistake of where they give their power away to people outside of themselves. And
I have actually observed myself doing that quite recently,
yeah,
with just a message I sent to somebody saying, oh, maybe it was that person. And I'm kind of going,
yeah,
no, it was me, you know. And I realized that, and I was like, I feel I just gave my power away.
Yeah.
You know,
so I think it's very,
like, oh,
very important,
you know, so
to keep balance with,
cancel
you know,
that. I reclaim my power back. Thank you.
We play this game of Almin and us. But it's a game. And it's something that we need to remember, is that we are all, you know, the infinite exists within each of us. So what we see on the outside, yes, it's real, but it's also on the inside. It's a paradox. I think this is where the autonomy part of things comes in as well, you know, where you are kind of self-sufficient, and you trust, you learn to trust yourself and the steps that you make.
Self-referring.
And exactly, the journey that you take, that you trust it. And no matter what, whether it's, you know, right or wrong, or, and I'm saying this inverted commas, there's no mistakes. There are no mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
And
there are no accidents.
Journey.
True.
There are no accidents. There are no mistakes. Everybody's on a journey, and it's a journey of learning. And so there's no judgment.
Inspiration.
But it's, I think it's very, very important. And I really feel that the last year has taught me this, to be totally self-referring. I am absolutely in awe of Almin. I think she's amazing. I trust myself.
Yeah.
And that's all I have to say.
Okay. Thank you so much for that, Joanne. And on that note, I'm going to play about the God Merkaba, which is an amazing tool that Almin has brought through sacred meditation, and how it can affect all of existence. And this is what she recommends that we do. So we tune in again. Hopefully it'll be this Thursday or maybe the day after. We don't, you know, it's going to be this week anyway, and we'll have another show and hopefully more updates and, you know, more inspired, maybe discussions or insights of what's unfolding in one's reality, in one's life, in whatever area of existence you're expressing from. Each has a divine thread which ties into the many and the one. So on that note, thank you, Joanne, for your presence this evening, and
thank you,
for
Nessa,
a lot of your beautiful insights. And let us press play. Thank you, sweetheart.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
The seven bodies of man disappears as you go through resurrection. Instead, you have a completely different luminous cocoon. It is your own personal energy dynamo that you carry with you as a vehicle throughout eternity. We have the Merkaba. The Merkaba is a three-sided Star of David interlocking like this. It's called a star tetrahedron, three-dimensional. Three sides to the pyramid, they interlock, they overlap between the breast part and the knee part. In humans, or anybody up to this point, including really gods, because it's all the way through until this point, have their Merkaba, or their fields, around the body. There are three of these star tetrahedrons occupying the same space. The Merkaba practices that are being done out there is totally to be shunned. They lock you into the activity of mind. But the fields, nevertheless, are still there. They go one hand length above the head and one hand length below the feet. The fields, and they're out about an arm's length. I could see that there was a different Merkaba as far back as 1997. Even as I was teaching the old Merkaba, I could see that one was going to come to replace this. Above our heads, about the size of a dinner plate, a hand length above the head, is what is called the Lahun chakra. Lahun is the number 10 in the Lemurian language. La means all and Hun means one, means all in one and one in all. The Lahun chakra is a way to gauge how high up the point of the star tetrahedrons of a super god is. It's a hand length and then it's a pie plate, you know, about 8-10 inches above that. That's where it is. And it's still a three-pointed, three-sided pyramid, except now the triangles of the sides of the pyramid are not equilateral triangles. They are Sothic triangles, which is an elongated triangle. As we spin in a very specific way, not like we did in the past, as we spin, these three elongated star tetrahedrons in a very specific way at a specific speed, we will be spinning them beyond the speed of light, because we're leaving light behind as we move from one realm to the next. It is a vehicle to help you move through the high heart if all the other things have been put in place. And it creates, in its spinning, an oval cocoon around the super god. And this oval cocoon becomes your vehicle. And within it, you travel through the other realities, but you are in your own reality. Within this cocoon, you can live in a reality and of no, not real matter that decays, that has opposites, with energy leaks. You are in a self-contained, generating vehicle. And I'm just trying to think if I've skipped anything else. The second resurrection I went through in Siberia just after the solstice in June. And when I went through that, again, there was a death experience and then a completely different awakening. That you should not worry about right now, because that is not the stage that we're in. Humanity needs to be brought into a place where they are not going to be self-destructing. You know, we have resolution coming to the conflict between Russia and the Ukraine. And I understand that, you know, Russians look at it as different than what I am saying. Nevertheless, that is the way it is. So the conflict between Russia and the Ukraine has come to an uneasy peace, but it is going to continue. We have a Ruin Master holding the space in Siberia, and we have a Ruin Master holding the space in the Ukraine. Wherever they are, peace on earth happens, because the lack of peace came from conflict between a feminine nation and a masculinely dominant nation. And every time that happens, it is your inner and outer space conflict. It is a conflict between life and death. It is a conflict between the one and the many. And in fact, when they are as one, working as one, they form this unified field of perception. It's not an accident that they were created. For one moving from these two levels into the level of super godhood, the levels of resurrection, there is an entirely different way for the meridians in the body to act. They become a unified field. They are no longer rivers. They are rivers that have become the ocean. So what are they? They are currents in the ocean. You can describe a current in the ocean, meaning they're a unified field with unique properties. A river in the ocean is what a current really is. And it has a unique property that makes it separate or different from the rest of the ocean, but it isn't really separate. And the ocean feeds it, and it feeds the ocean. having changed it with its unique properties. That is the unified field of the meridians in a nutshell when you go into super godhood.